Welcome to Legends of the Hall, the podcast centered around the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame in Colorado Springs, telling the stories of the greatest stars in the history of Pro Rodeo. On today's show, we highlight the daddy of them all, the Cheyenne Frontier Days Rodeo in Cheyenne, Wyoming. You'll hear from the Cheyenne Frontier Days CEO, Tom Hersey. This is professional rodeo announcer Steve Kenyon. Legends of the Hall is being sponsored by Wrangler, the official Western wear of Pro Rodeo. Long live Cowboys. In just a moment, we'll take you to Old Cheyenne.
Hey, y'all, this is Cody Johnson. When I was starting out in music, most every radio station and venue I went to told me no. At that point, you got two options: tuck tail and quit, or buckle down and fight. Well, I'm a fighter, not a quitter. And that's why I wear Wrangler jeans and shirts. Their toughness and style are legendary. They're an iconic symbol of the West, and there's no quit in them either. Life's not about the destination. It's about the journey. And if I'm going to enjoy the ride, I'm riding in Wrangler. Wrangler, long live Cowboys.
Thanks for joining us on the Legends of the Hall podcast. And as I posted on Facebook a day or two ago, is there anything more legendary in the world of professional rodeo than the Cheyenne Frontier Days? That gentleman is the CEO of the Cheyenne Frontier Days Rodeo, Tom Hersey, who has his whole family has been a part of Cheyenne for generations. Tom, it's always a great opportunity to see you, my friend. How are you today?
Good to see you, Steve. It's been too long.
Yeah, it has. So let's talk a little bit about Cheyenne. I want to start with what I just mentioned. And you and I have talked about this before. But Cheyenne is not just a part of the community, but in your life, it has been a part of your family for a very long time, right?
You know, Steve, since day one, actually, my great-great-uncle Charlie was one of the co-founders of Cheyenne Frontier Days. So my family has been involved since day one. You know, my recollections, you know, that I grew up on a 20,000 acre cattle ranch north of Cheyenne. And, you know, July is not the best time to leave the ranch. Yeah. But we would that last week in July, that's what our family did. I mean, I haven't ever missed a Frontier Day since I was born. I started working in the arena when I was about 10 years old with my dad, who was the arena director for 37 years out here. Hmm. You know, I started running calves out and started working in the arena a little bit after that, and took over from my dad as the arena director. Had an aunt who was a Miss Frontier, had a sister actually was named Lady in Waiting, and she was killed in a car accident before she could take over being Miss Frontier. So, you know, there's a lot of emotion with Frontier Days in my family. You know, my daughters have been involved. My mom's involved in the wheels, which is the women that take care of all the periodic costumes for the parade. And, you know, then I went on to be the rodeo chairman. We called it contestants chairman back then, but, I rodeoed for a little while, went to the University of Wyoming, and actually, you know, was fortunate enough in my career to win Pendleton and Cheyenne and go to the National Final Steer Open. So my last steer open run was in Cheyenne when I won Cheyenne. That was the last one I ever chased. And then I went on to be on the board of directors, and then I was hired as the CEO in 2015.
What year was that last steer open run?
2002.
Wow. It must help a little bit in your current role to have all of that background and all of that history to fall back on, to have done everything from be a volunteer to be an administrator to be a contestant and now to be the CEO.
You know, especially at these major rodeos, but even the other rodeos that the person that's in charge of that rodeo, whether it be a volunteer or, you know, a staff member such as myself right now, you've got to have a wide background. You got to understand where volunteers are coming from. You've got to understand your staff, the contestants. I mean, I deal with carnivals, night shows, the food services, everything from security to, you know, I was telling somebody this the other day, we signed over 300 contracts to put on Cheyenne Frontier Days.
Wow.
That's a lot of work. We got 14 part-time staff that kind of pull that off. And of course, the volunteer force that does the operational part of Cheyenne Frontier Days. But, you know, understanding those, because you don't volunteers are different than employees, of course. They have the, sometimes have the same passions, but having a background in all those areas is, you know, it's vital. If you don't learn how it works, you won't be here very long for sure.
Let me ask you a numbers question. How many volunteers does it take to put on Cheyenne? It's got to be, you know, for the volunteers and for the staff, you know, we know the rodeo is a 10-day event, but it's a whole lot more in 10 days for you folks that are putting it on. How many volunteers, any thoughts on how much of their lives they give up from the middle of July to the end of July every year?
Well, we have 3,000 volunteers out here. And, you know, we used to put it on with a lot less volunteers. But, you know, everybody understands how time has become such a precious commodity to everyone. And so, you know, we used to have the volunteer base was out here for all 10 days from 7 in the morning till midnight every day. They all can't do that anymore. So right now we have about 3,000 volunteers that put on Cheyenne Frontier Days. That's in a community of about 75,000 people. So that's a good percentage of our population that works out here.
You know, I lived in Pendleton for a long time, and Cheyenne is bigger population-wise than Pendleton. Pendleton's population is, I don't think that sign's changed in years, somewhere around 16,000, not including all the people that live right outside of town. But the reason I bring it up is Pendleton and Cheyenne are similar in a lot of ways. And I think one of those ways is when the Pendleton Roundup comes to town, it impacts every person in town somehow. Even if they're a person who just flat leaves town because they want to get out of the hubbub and rent some house out or something because there aren't enough hotel rooms. Is that similar to what happens in Cheyenne?
Oh yeah, you know, we have a big faction of people that leave town. That's just too much for them. They live here because it's a smaller community, and you know, they're not really negative about Cheyenne Frontier Days, but they just kind of disappear. But it does affect everyone's lives. I mean, you know, you talk to the dentist and doctors and all those guys. You know, nobody wants to have dentist and doctor appointments during Frontier Days. They all are doing stuff, so. That gives people a lot of chances to volunteer. And we have a great business community that's very, very receptive to letting their people off to volunteer at Cheyenne Frontier Days. And sometimes they just let them go. They don't charge them sick days or leave days. And so we get a lot of support from this community, from the business community especially.
You told me once upon a time what the economic impact was on Cheyenne and surrounding communities, and I forget the number. But here's the other comparison I would make to Pendleton. The folks in Pendleton always told me Pendleton Roundup's bigger than Christmas retail-wise. And I don't know if that's true in Cheyenne as well, but this is a major impact on Cheyenne, northern Colorado, even Laramie, I think. I mean, all the surrounding areas, right?
It's dang sure a second Christmas. And in some businesses like the Boot Barns and that, I mean, it is probably better than Christmas for them because – the community has to get outfitted, and then all the visitors come and get outfitted. So I think it is. I mean, it keeps a lot of businesses alive that might not be able to make it if there wasn't Cheyenne Frontier Days. Restaurants, hotels, all kinds of things that benefit the community throughout the year. They probably wouldn't survive if it wasn't for Frontier Days.
Let me ask you one more question about Cheyenne, kind of from a historic standpoint and from a your memory of it standpoint. We're 136 days away, as Tom and I are talking, by the way, on Monday, from the Cheyenne Frontier Days rodeos. It's not that long. It's going to be here before you know it. I hate to warn you about that, Tom, but it's going to be here before you know it. But think back on your history with Cheyenne, on from the time you were competing, how much has that park changed? How much has been added into that park over the last... If you've never been to Cheyenne, Wyoming during the Cheyenne Frontier Days, it's not just a rodeo. It's not just a 20,000-seat arena. It is one of the most beautiful parks you have ever seen in your life. Tell me about it. How much that's grown.
It's grown a lot. I mean, and we have lots more expansion projects in place that, you know, we're going to be able to talk about here in maybe a short period of time, but some real phenomenal type stuff. So, you know, probably one of the biggest things that has grown up in the last few years has been our Old West Museum, the Cheyenne Frontier Days Old West Museum. So, you know, that thing's incredible. Our carriage collection, all the things that are out there. I mean, in that museum is just the history of Cheyenne Frontier Days is deep, as you well know, Steve. That's probably one of the biggest things. You know, our park has stayed kind of the same, but we, you know, we try to, a lot of paint and new asphalt always makes it look better. We try to keep the court traditions. The arena hasn't changed a whole lot, the dimensions of the arena, which if you've never been here is a huge arena. It's in the timed event in, it's one of the most challenging arenas that there is, along with, you know, like Pendleton, of course, like you mentioned, there's a lot of similarities, but you know, we built a brand new event center that has really been incredible for our sponsors. And, you know, throughout the year, we have the demand for weddings in our event center. People that want to get married at Cheyenne Frontier Park is incredible. So, yeah, there's been a lot of changes come about with Cheyenne Frontier Days. Even in the last 10 years, we've really made some big strides.
That arena is 700 feet long, right?
Yep.
And it creates... I always thought the fan favorite event in Cheyenne was the steer wrestling, just because those bulldog and steers get to running. Was it like that in the steer roping too?
Oh yeah, because that left fence, you know, comes up immediately to you. I mean, it's you know, most of the time you go to rodeos, you run to where the steer is. You know, you just wherever the steer goes, he kind of dictates the run, and you set it up from there. But here what you got to do is when you leave there, you want to set that steer up. You want to move him clear over to the right and keep him off of that left fence, because that left fence is right alongside the boxes. So my friend Harold Bumgarner always told me, he says, if you're going to rope at Cheyenne, you want to run him up there on the creek. Don't try to – or up there on the meadow. You don't want to try to trip him down there on the creek.
Oh, you know, the wisdom of – some old cowboys just never ends, does it?
It's pretty simple, yep, to them. It is.
Yep. So I'm joined by Tom Hersig. Tom is the CEO of the Cheyenne Frontier Days Rodeo. 120, how many years this year, Tom? 128 years. And scrolling through Cheyenne's social media sites, I find this. Welcome to the year of the cowboy, or cowgirl, I should say. This year, we are celebrating the spirit and strength of Western women throughout history. Their stories shape ours as we follow in their footsteps, both in the arena and out in the world. Join us as we celebrate the Year of the Cowgirl. Tell me more about that.
So I think people really, I mean, when you think about it, I think most people that understand the Western culture and the Western heritage understand the importance of women in the West. You know, there was times Cheyenne Frontier Days when, you know, the women were a majority of our competitors because of wars and other things that took the men away.
Yeah.
They were huge supporters. I mean, we've got some old footage of women bronc riders back in the 30s, and they'd ride those broncs and they'd hold those little parasails up in one hand, bronc rein in the other hand. They'd never drop those parasails. Those horses would buck and those women could ride.
Yeah.
But you know, there's so many interesting people that were part of not only Cheyenne Frontier Days, but part of agriculture and the Western way of life that, you know, sometimes they don't really get recognized. And we just felt it was time. You know, we were one of the first ones to bring, you know, breakaway with equal money added to it. And we get the importance of women in rodeo, and not only rodeo, but the Western way of life. You might not know this, Steve. It's a fun fact. The first stewardess school was in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So there's a lot of, you know, we've broken our past into like four different eras of time. And we're going to celebrate women in all aspects of Wyoming and the West in all four of those eras. And well, we've got some great stories to tell. We're excited.
So how are there? I want to follow up on that. There are two or three directions I want to go. What are the fans going to see during the course of the rodeo this year as part of that celebration? Or can you let that cat out of the bag yet?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think they're going to get a lot of education about some of those women of the West. They're going to learn something about some of the people that helped formulate what we try to protect in Western heritage. You know, we've got a big, bronze going in. If you've been here, you've seen the Chris Ledoux statue that we put up 2 years ago. This one's going to be right alongside the Chris Ledoux statue, right along Interstate 25. And it's a woman bronc rider called How About Them Cowgirls. Mm-hmm. there was a ranching family when we did the Chris Ledoux statue, a ranching family, Warren Livestock, Doug and Susan Samuelson, that have, you know, have always been huge supporters of Frontier Days. And when we did the Chris Ledoux statue, Susan said, you know what, we need one of those with a woman bronc rider on it. And I said, we do. So they've been the key donors to get this thing done. And it's going to be an amazing piece when it gets in here. And sitting alongside Chris Ledoux, it's just a natural fit for Shane Frontier Days.
So, I mean, I had said there were two or three things I wanted to get into. You mentioned years, especially during the war years, when maybe as many or most of the contestants were women, not men. People yeah. may or may not realize today, if you're at a high school rodeo, even a college rodeo, you're probably going to see more women competing than men. When you think about barrel racing, breakaway roping, you know, some of the other events that are available there, there are more cowgirls who are tying goats than there are cowboys that are riding bucking horses, probably. Women have a major impact on our sport and our lifestyle.
And a good impact on this, on our sport and our lifestyle. They have added a much needed flavor to rodeo that we've been lacking for a while. The breakaway roping, you know, the barrel racing has always been exciting for people, especially some people that don't understand rodeo. Barrel racing is very simple to understand and they can get behind it. And breakaway roping is the same thing, but it also, it makes rooms for heroes for all those little girls out there that want to be in the rodeo world. Or, I mean, girls love horses more than probably men do by hands down. Yeah. So we're a natural fit for these girls, especially the little girls that come to our rodeo.
The other thing about that, and I hope I haven't misquoted you, Tom, because I have told a couple of people through the years something that you told me, and I think I'm getting this right. The year that you decided to add breakaway roping, I remember doing an interview with you about it, and I believe that what you told me was that you surveyed your audience, and your crowd, your fans, wanted to see more women competing. Is that correct?
Absolutely. So, Steve, that was a project that we did called the Trail Guide to the Future, and we actually hired a what they call an Imagineer or a Futurist. I didn't even know that type of title existed, but they're people that work mostly with like Disney as a good example. And that's where this guy came from. And, you know, Disney's always on the cutting edge of entertainment. And the reason they are is they're always looking 15, 20 years down the road. So our board said, you know, where are we going to be in 20 years? What's our fan base going to look like? And what do people want to see? And so we had this futurist come in, talk to us about our traditions and what traditions would carry forward into 20, 25 years down the road. And one of the things that is being demanded more and more all the time is not only women in rodeo, but more women in entertainment, more women in all kinds of aspects of our life and more kids in those things too. So yeah, that was a big, you know, kind of an eye-opening experience that they appreciate the barrel race, but they want to see women compete more. So now we've got the breakaway roping, and we also have the World Championships of Women's Bronc Riding right here. Well, you know, it's really just made our rodeo just have some diversity to it, which is really good.
Yeah. Tom, talk to me about this year. Over the last few years, you have worked with the format, created the tournament style situation that you have now, where contestants advance on and based on how they do, I think competing in two performances for each group of contestants, and then they move on to the next round. Are there changes this year? Is there anything new that's coming aside from the emphasis on the Year of the Cowgirl in 2024?
You know, there are no changes to the format. And actually, the format is really a sudden death format. It's one and done. In the quarterfinals, you're either in the top four out of the 12 competitors, and you move on to the semifinals, or you're done. So it is. It's a true, you know, sudden death format here at Shane Frontier Days. And it, you know, Steve, as you well know, it was met with a lot of controversy to change that. But what I can tell you about that change is our fans are much more engaged in the rodeo than they've ever been. Our rodeo ticket sales have gone through the roof. I would like to take credit for that, you know, from saying that was the format. But we all understand the television of rodeo has really, I mean, it's increased all ticket sales. So I don't know that you can say it was just about the format, but what I took away from the change in the format is how much the contestants care about Cheyenne Frontier Days, and they want to have a voice in it. And they love the tradition of Cheyenne Frontier Days, and we try to keep as much as we can, but you also have to evolve too.
Yeah. You know, and that's, you know, the one thing that happened with that format change, I remember the first few years I went to Cheyenne and put Cheyenne on the radio, and I'd be there for the last three or four performances of the long round and then Championship Sunday. And you'd run three sections of Bulldoggers, two sections of everything else. And it was, to be honest, Tom, kind of a marathon.
It was.
To shorten the rodeo and still maintain all that content. And let's face it, if you can give the fans a full show and maybe not keep their backsides in the seats quite so long, maybe that's a step in the right direction. Am I way off in saying that, or am I right?
Well, I think you're exactly right. I mean, what people don't understand, they think when you have a rodeo, that you have all kinds of rodeo fans that are sitting in your stands. 85% of our ticket buyer has either goes to one rodeo a year, which is probably here, mm-hmm. or they've never been to a rodeo before. So we have a very novice fan base when it comes to rodeo. And they can get the concept of, you know, bareback rider every day. This is the first year we did it. And I don't know if you remember this, Steve, but it was when Stetson Wright, the first summer, he was leading the all around. And he came here and he was in the first performance, and he, in the bronc riding, he was in the top four. So he was going to make it back to the semifinals. And then he had to go in the bull riding. And he drew a bull that didn't hardly buck. He was 69 points, but there was only four guys that rode.
Yeah.
I've never seen a 69 point bull ride bring people to their feet, and they did, because they knew he was going to advance. They had something to cheer about rather than just say, well, you know, he takes a re-ride, maybe he's 75. We don't know if he's going to do any good. We don't know if he's going to be back. You got to give something for people to look forward to get them to come back. And I think a lot of people came back to see Stetson in those semifinals.
Yeah, I do remember that. I'd forgotten about it, but as you mentioned, the moment I remember it. You know, the moment that I will always remember from my time in Cheyenne, and I haven't been to your rodeo as many times as I would like to, you and I talked about this earlier today, was the year that Brody Kress won the bronc riding for the first time. And
for the first time?
Yeah, for the first time. He got on a re-ride. Remember that year? And Brody is from Hillsdale, Wyoming. He graduated from Cheyenne East High School, right? And he gets on his re-ride horse, goes out and sticks a ride on. I forget the horse. I've never been in a place so loud in my life.
It was crazy,
wasn't
it?
That was unbelievable.
That was.
Yeah.
It couldn't have happened any better. It was, and Brody's such a great ambassador of the sport of rodeo. It's good to see those guys win.
Yeah. Yeah. So you answered, remember earlier today when I talked to you and I asked you if you'd have time to do this, and I said, I'm going to try and come up with a couple of questions I've never asked you before.
Okay.
Here's one that I came up with, and you just sort of answered it in your two answers prior to when we talked about Brody. I am a firm believer that all rodeo committee people need to go to more than just their own rodeo during the course of the year, that they should go and see, and the Cowboy Channel makes it possible now to watch a lot of other rodeos and a lot of other productions. But if Rodeo Committee X from someplace else in the world came to Cheyenne, called you, emailed you, and said, what do we need to learn from Cheyenne? What can other rodeo committees learn from Cheyenne? And what have you been able to learn from other rodeo committees? Since you are one of the premier rodeos in the world, you got a lot of eyeballs on you. What can other rodeo committees learn from Cheyenne?
Steve, we are the best stealer of ideas there are in the rodeo world. We went to San Antonio. We meet with their committees. It depends on what area that we think we need to improve. Houston here in a couple of days to talk to them about some of their operations pieces, some of their parking hangars, their ticketing operations. You know, we don't have any ideas or any trade secrets. My thought is that the better that rodeo, all rodeos are, the better we all are. So I don't ever view rodeos as competitors. Mm-hmm. I feel like they complement us. If they put on a good rodeo in Indiana, that might make them want to come to Cheyenne. And maybe if we bring somebody from Indiana and show them a good time, maybe they go to the rodeo in Indiana. So, you know, we do tours all the time. We have lots of rodeo committees that come here, and somebody might say, you know, I'd like to sit in on your rodeo production meeting, or how do you run your ticket operations, or tell us about how you work your contract with your carnival. I mean, we're an open book. So if rodeo committees want to come visit, all they need to do is reach out to us.
Yeah. You're going to announce your concert entertainment this week sometime.
Yeah, this is always an exciting week.
Yeah, I know I can't. I could ask Tom to tell you who they are, but then he'd have to hurt me. So I'm not going to do that. that all by itself, the production element of going from a rodeo in the afternoon to doing whatever restructuring of the arena has to happen to get ready for a big concert that night, and God forbid that it should rain, which occasionally happens, that's got to be a process all by itself.
Well, if you've never watched us roll our stage down, we've got the largest portable stage in the world, and it comes from out north of our arena, and we pull it down there with some great big tractors. It's fully loaded with all the equipment, set it up in front of the stands, and we usually, our rodeo gets over about 4:30, and we're ready for concert at 8 o'clock. So it's a huge turnover, and that rain does sometimes gets in the way, and we get delayed a little bit, and then people have to stand in the mud, but they don't seem to mind it. It's an experience. Our concerts are an experience like you've never been to, especially if you decide you want to be down there in the party zone, which is right down front on our dirt track. And you know, our seats are, our worst seat is not very far away from the artist. So it's really a neat experience.
Yeah. I mentioned earlier, you're 136 days away. Before I let you go,
Would you quit saying that, Steve?
I'm sorry.
Are you trying to ruin my day?
Like I say, the next 4 months are good. All of a sudden it's going to be the middle of July and you're getting ready to get started. So much of the work I'm sure has already been done. What has to happen between now and in basically the next 4 months as you get ready to welcome thousands? I don't even know how many people come to town every year, thousands and thousands of people to town for the Cheyenne Frontudos.
So we had through our security gates in 10 days, we had 450,000 people come onto our park. So yeah, there's a lot left to do. We've still, you know, we have a short window for construction projects. We've got all kinds of projects that need to get done, from just like rebuilding beer stands to, you know, we're really focused on more seating, more shade. That's something that our customer really said they'd like to have. So we've got some areas that we want to work on. We always work on entertainment in the offset, like our garden. We have some artists that come in there and play. We have a Sidewinder's saloon that we have, like some old West cowboys and some poets over there. So there's a lot of all the little things that have to go into play now. I have a meeting with the general committee tonight, which is all the volunteers and their leaders. And they're in charge of, you know, mostly all the operations. So we need to coordinate all those and, you know, all the things we've talked about throughout the winter about how we're going to improve the customer experience here. Those things got to be put into place. So a lot of details left to go.
Did you tell me there's a new construction project on the horizon, or did I mishear that?
Well, we've got some smaller ones, just like, we're putting in a kind of a new bar over there in Old Frontier Town. It's going to be made. It's going to be those silo bars, you know, that look like the old grain silos.
Yeah.
And we do have a big construction project on the horizon, the military base, which is right across I-25 from us. They've got an abandoned golf course over there, and we need parking. And so we're working on the state of Wyoming granted a matching grant to build a bridge across the interstate where we can park about 2,000 vehicles and people can just walk across there to the park. So that's going to be a real game changer for us. We're hoping by 25 that we're going to get that done. So yeah, that's one of the projects, and we're working on the refabricating chute 9, extending that clear across the track into our event center. So yeah, we've got some exciting things that we haven't really been, you know, fully vetted yet, but there's going to be some neat things happening here.
The Cheyenne Frontier Days Rodeo website is cfdrodeo.com. Tom, I usually start this show because it's centered so much around the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame and all of the history that exists in the hall. Being inducted, and there was no question that at some point Cheyenne would go into the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame. So I mean, Cheyenne has probably had more songs, more history, more everything else written about it than any other rodeo in the country. But being inducted into the Hall of Fame is certainly got to be something that meant a lot to the Cheyenne Frontier Days Rodeo.
Absolutely. The Hall of Fame is, you know, that's the pinnacle of what we do for media people or rodeos or contestants. That's the ultimate feather in your hat is being inducted into there. So that is quite an honor. It's nothing that we take lightly. And, you know, along with that honor comes the responsibility of maintaining your standing among the elites. So it makes us want to work harder because we are part of that fraternity.
CFDRodeo.com is the website if you would like to know more as the Cheyenne Frontier Days Rodeo prepares to celebrate this year, highlighting the spirit and strength of Western women throughout history. It is the year of the cowgirl at the Daddy of Mall. Tom Hersig, I appreciate your time. It's always such a pleasure. We'll see you somewhere soon, and good luck in 2024 at the Cheyenne Frontier Days.
And Steve, thanks for what you do for rodeo and the Western way of life. You make a huge contribution to both of those things.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Tom. That means a lot, especially coming from you. We'll see you soon.
All right, Steve. Goodbye.
Thank you. Tom Hersig joining us from the Cheyenne Frontier Days Rodeo. CFDRodeo.com is the Cheyenne Frontier Days website, July 19th through the 28th. The Daddy of Mall, the Cheyenne Frontier Days Rodeo. Thanks for joining us for Legends of the Hall, sponsored by Wrangler. Long live Cowboys. God bless everybody. I'm Steve Kinney.